time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Howdy. Well, Charlie isn't on right now. He's still a little bit under the weather, getting better and better every day, and we're looking forward to having Charlie back. But Charlie's not on. My name's Glenn Coble. I do a Monday show. It's called A Progressive Life. I'd love to have you tune in at about 10 after 11 or maybe 15 after 11 on Mondays, every Monday. It's more of a political thing. But this today we're talking about movie trivia. And I did have a lady caller during the break. And the question was, in 1956 movie Somebody Up There Likes Me, Paul Newman portrayed the character in a true story of a middleweight, world middleweight champion boxer. Who was the boxer? Her guess was a good guess, a gentleman who did fight back in the 40s and 50s. And as a matter of fact, my father used to sit around the radio. This is how old I am. We'd sit around the radio and listen to Joe Louis fight. It was not Joe Louis. Good try. Very good try. Good era. She had everything right except for the name. But if you'd like to give us one more try, I'll give you about another 30 seconds if you want to try another name. But it was... It was not Joe Louis. All right. There was another prize fighter movie, and it told about the fighters' violence and corruption of the mob that was connected down on the docks in New Jersey. Can you remember that movie? That was all about violence and mob-connected union bosses on the dock in New Jersey. All right, the answer to that one is On the Waterfront. That was kind of a scary movie. I remember, well, scary is probably not the... A tense movie. This is a kind of an interesting question because I didn't know this one. The name of a 1950 film noir directed by John Huston that is considered the breakthrough movie for a young Marilyn Monroe, a virtual unknown at the time. It's a 1950 movie, and it's kind of gave Marilyn the break. It's called The Asphalt Jungle. A lot of very dark films were made back in that time. This is an interesting question. Just because I don't think I've ever seen a 3D movie, but do you know what movie started the 3D craze back in 1952? Now, like I said, I've never seen. I did see one 3D movie. I believe that maybe, the one I mentioned earlier with the, it doesn't make any difference. Anyway, the 3D craze started around 1952, and the very first movie which started that craze, Buona Devil. Buona Devil. There were some crazy names for movies back then, too. I hope you're able to stream us. By the way, we're streaming live, and I'm looking at the camera right now, waving at the camera. We're streaming live on WWGH on Facebook and also on my Facebook, I guess. That's what I was told. All right. Let's go back to the question, and I'm sorry the lady didn't get the answer right. She said Joe Louis. In 1956, a movie, Somebody Up There Likes Me, starring Paul Newman. The character was about a world middleweight boxer. Who was the boxer? Rocky Graziano. Rocky Graziano. Names that bring back memories to me. My father, for some reason, as a minister, my father enjoyed listening on the radio to boxing. I never quite understood that. I'm sorry. I'm checking my time to make sure that the next break happens. Alfred Hitchcock, Thriller, 1951, was based on two strangers casually meeting, and each one of them is trying to get rid of their spouse. Well, they come together with a scheme that one of the people will kill the other person's wife and vice versa. So, therefore, there will be no connection, no reason to blame the person that's going to do this, and it'll be at completely different locations. So, anyway, the name of that Alfred Hitchcock thriller was Strangers on a Train. He had some really, I'm not quite sure what the term is, but his movies were pretty far out there. And I did like Alfred Hitchcock's television show. It was 30 minutes, and I could handle 30 minutes of the terror and frightening stuff. I couldn't handle 2 hours of it. I think the only, very few Hitchcock movies. I did see Northwest Passage, and I did see the one where Jimmy Stewart is taking pictures at Rear Window. That one I think I've seen twice, and both times I'm scared to death he's going to get caught. And I know what's going to happen. All right. In 1953, War of the Worlds won what Academy Award? There are all sorts of Academy Awards. And as a matter of fact, now they give the Academy Awards to all sorts of things that you never see on TV because there are just so many awards. But what award did the War of the Worlds move? Now, War of the Worlds, you remember that? That was where creatures from outer space supposedly land on Earth and start killing Earthlings. And the thing that finally does them in is the creatures who are in the these giant tripod machines that are killing people. The creatures that are running them end up dying of a virus, an earthbound virus, and it saves the world. Anyway, what Academy Award did they win? They won the Best Visual Effects. Now, that was the 1953 version of it. And I believe there's been a more current version of War of the Worlds, but I don't happen to have that right now. Which was Warner Brothers' highest grossing movie in 1954. I'm doing a lot of 50s. I just decided 50s were a good year to do. And which was the highest grossing movie in 1954? And I've already mentioned the name earlier in the show. It was one of the movies I loved. giant ants, radioactive ants. The movie is called Them. It's hard to imagine. It was the highest grossing movie in 1954. You know, back in that time, there were movies that they actually placed vibrating things underneath seats to scare people. Believe me, the movie Tingler or the movie Them or any number of these movies, you didn't have to put anything under my seat to scare me. I got scared pretty easily. But I did enjoy going to them, and I don't anymore. I don't like being scared. Life is full of enough problems for me. I don't want to have another one. This is kind of interesting because I had never heard of this movie. Which film is a loose retelling of Shakespeare's The Tempest? Now, I performed in The Tempest when I was in college, but I didn't know that there had been a movie that was created in a loose version of it. It was called Forbidden Planet. That's kind of strange. I haven't seen Forbidden Planet. I might have to pull that up when I get home. It's kind of fun having YouTube. You can pull up at least tidbits of all sorts of movies. All right. This is a Jack Arnold directed movie, and it was starring, it wasn't starring, but Clint Eastwood was credited with his first speaking role in what movie? This must be an older movie. Clint Eastwood is not a young whippersnapper. Revenge of the Creature. That just reminds me of a film I did see that I did enjoy. Creature from the Black Lagoon. I always loved that movie. Don't want to go see it again, though. H.G. Wells' classic story. Oh, here it is, right here. Steven Spielberg in 2005 made that remake of War of the Worlds. I don't think it was highly successful financially. It was kind of out there, and in 2005, the young people might have thought it was a little hokey. But that was made by Steven Spielberg, and he usually makes pretty good films. Okay. What awakens the 200-foot creature in Ishiro Honda's Godzilla? Yeah, that's kind of funny just to watch the people running from Godzilla. They are so terrified and so fake terrified. Anyway, what awakened that creature? Do you remember that? Well, it was an atomic bomb test. And that probably would awaken anything down in the ocean. Let's hope we don't have to awaken Godzilla anymore. Kind of in the news right now about the tests over in North Korea. This is an interesting question. Which movie was almost called Sleep No More? Now, this is kind of a scary movie. What movie was almost called Sleep No More? Well, it was Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I do have sort of a soft spot for scary films, but no more. Do you remember the name of the robot in the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still? There was a robot in it. It was 1951, and this robot's name, it was an acronym, but its name was GORT. GORT, and the acronym stood for Genetically Organized Robotic Technology. And with some of the genetic things that we're doing nowadays, it's getting closer to the truth, I'm afraid. Okay. Donovan's Brain, an adaptation of Kurt of a 1942 novel of the same name, Donovan's Brain, was, well, I'll tell you the answer to this after this break.
The Charlie Evers Show is supported by Marion Hearing Aid Center. Hear what you've been missing out on. Address 864 East Center Street. Telephone number 740-382-4553, offering free hearing tests. A local business since 1959.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
All right, we're back here. Glenn Coble taking the place of Charlie Evers, who's a little under the weather, getting better day by day, and we wish him the best. The question was, Donovan's Brain is an adaptation of a novel of 1942 by the same name, and it starred a first lady. Now, that's the dead giveaway. What was the name of the first lady? There, I think she's probably the only lady, first lady, that was an actress, Nancy Reagan. okay, this was a question that was... It kind of surprised me. After his role in Forbidden Planet, Robbie the Robot. Remember Robbie the Robot in Forbidden Planet? He made appearances on three different series. What were the series? Robbie the Robot. You remember him from Forbidden Planet? Well, the three series were Mork and Mindy. That seemed logical to me. The Twilight Zone, and the Addams Family. The Addams Family? That was one show I was really not very fond of. I don't know why that was, but that was not one of my favorites. Anyway, I have come to the end of all my trivia questions that I had on paper. Now I'm going to go back to my phone, and we're going to keep on asking some of those. If you are interested, the next question I ask, I will, if you get the answer, I will give you a prize. The first movie ever to be given the, I guess you'd call it the honor of being called Blockbuster, was which movie? I'll give you a couple of minutes to get back with me on that. Let me read the question again. The first movie ever to be given the honor or the accolade of being called a blockbuster was which movie? And you can call me at 740-383-9944. If you're watching on our streaming over Facebook, WWGH or Glenn Coble Facebook, hi, I'm waving to you. All right, let's go. Continue on here. Peter Ustinov. I used to love when he was in a film. He won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor back in 1960. Let me go to the phone and see if we got an answer here. Hang on. Hello? You're on the air. Do you have an answer for us?
Well, I think the blockbuster was Cleopatra, wasn't it?
No, you missed it. but Cleopatra was a good movie. Did you watch that movie?
Yes.
Did you enjoy that? I enjoyed watching Elizabeth Taylor, but
Well, of course.
I love the pageantry of that movie.
It was a classic. I thought it was the first blockbuster. But
no, it was not, or at least not by what my trivia page tells me. But thanks for your try. We'll try again later. Thanks. Bye-bye. Good guess. I loved Cleopatra. The beauty of the costumes and Cleopatra was a lot like a lot of those big movies, Ten Commandments and that sort of thing. I don't know how much money they spent on it, but they must have spent a fortune on costumes, the sights, and the number of people. Now, this particular movie, wait a minute, I've lost my phone. But the movie that we're talking about, let me get back here and find out the... naturally. Here, I got another call. We're going to try again, all right? Hello, you're on the air.
Well, I'm going to take a stab at it.
Sure.
Is it Jaws?
You got it. It was Jaws.
Oh, boy.
Can you imagine that? did you watch Jaws? That was one of the
movies. Oh, yeah,
that
I think everybody did.
Yeah, I could only watch it once. Excuse me. What's your? Let me get your name, and we'll keep a prize here. What is it? It's a McDonald's free breakfast or lunch or dinner. An extra
All right.
value meal. What's your name?
Jeff Smith.
Jeff. Well, wait a minute. Got to write it down. Jeff, if you'll stop in here at the station, which is in the basement of the Beltone.
Sure. Yep.
We'll have that for you. Please stop in within the next 10 days.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day. It was Jaws. He got it right. Fantastic. The idea of Cleopatra is so far from Jaws, but yet both good answers. But Jaws was the correct answer. And we're going to give him a free... lunch, dinner, or whatever, extra breakfast, extra value meal. Appreciate the phone call. And we will ask maybe one more if I have time. I forgot what day it was, so I got to write that down. Anyway, Jaws was the answer. First movie. Phooey. If you're watching on streaming, you're watching a person that doesn't know how to use his phone. I struggle with my phone sometimes. Here we go. Got it back. Oops. The old movie of trivia. Here we go. I got the questions. Anyway, it was Jaws that was called a blockbuster. And, you know, I noticed on TV this morning, there is only one blockbuster left open. Did I get it right? Is it in... I can't remember where it was. The one that just closed, I think, was in Australia. Now I got to find my page again. Here we go. Now I've got it coming up. trivia questions. Come back to me, please. All right. Now, this is an interesting question. And who was... let's see. Okay, I've got this. Got my trivia prize awarded. Who were the only two people to refuse to take an Oscar, to refuse the Oscars? Marlon Brando and George C. Scott. I'm not sure that they were the only ones, but those two did refuse to accept their Oscar. Why would you do that? I would be thrilled if somebody awarded me an Oscar. Peter Sellers played the role of Inspector Clouseau. Remember that? That was the first Pink Panther. I laughed till I cried. The second and third and fourth and fifth or whatever it went out to, I could pass. But who do you suppose dropped the role of Clouseau in place of Peter Sellers, who did a phenomenal job? It was Peter Ustinov. All right. I'm kind of coming. There we are. Now I found where I was. Now I got to go a little bit further. And a lot of the things that they have on some of these trivia pages are trivia that nobody would know. I'm probably wrong on that. There are probably a lot of people that study this stuff. I don't do that. I'm pretty good in a trivia contest, you know, the game. I'm pretty good at it. But they ask pretty simple questions. They don't ask questions like this one. Where was Rhett Butler of Gone with the Wind born? Got an idea? He was born in Charleston. I assume that's Charleston, North Dakota, South Carolina. I'm not sure. I can't imagine it was any other. Now, there was a foreign film was remade starring an actor, Nicolas Cage. And the foreign film was called Wings of Desire. Ooh, what an exciting name that is. Wings of Desire, and it was starring Nicolas Cage. What was its name in the once it came to the United States? The foreign film. Pretty good film. City of Angels. I kind of like that film. Now I got to find a few more questions. I told my wife as I left this morning, I don't think I wrote enough questions down. And I was right. Do you remember the movie Poseidon Adventure, starring Shelley Winters, who we have now found out is Shirley Schrift? That was her real name. Do you remember why they couldn't get off the boat? It was upside down. That makes it really tough. I was wondering if. If any of you ever had the opportunity to go watch a film actually being made, I was with a basketball team, probably OU, and got a chance to watch out the window in Cleveland. Didn't see much because it was pretty far away, but they were filming parts of what's the name? Was it Spider-Man? Yeah, Spider-Man. They were filming parts of Spider-Man in downtown Cleveland when we were up there. And if you want to call it fortunate, but I've had the opportunity to see several little tidbits of films being made, having come from Chicago, and I would have when I was at. DePaul, I would have to take this is kind of a trek that I took every day. I would on the way home, I would get out of my office, walk up to an elevated train, take the elevated train to downtown Chicago, walk from the elevated train station to an underground. Electric train station, get on an electric train, ride for an hour and 15 minutes, get off the electric train, go to my car, and then drive myself home. It took about 2 hours and a quarter one way, and I did that round trip every day. But anyway, quite often when I'd walk downtown in Chicago, there would be a movie being filmed. And it was kind of fun. I can't honestly tell you which movies were being filmed. But we had a good time. I had a good time just watching all the fancy people and all their makeup and their fancy clothes and stuff like that. Well, we're going to have another little break here, and then we'll be back with a few more questions.
The Charlie Evers Show is supported by Marion Hearing Aid Center. Hear what you've been missing out on. Address 864 East Center Street. Telephone number 740-382-4553. Offering free hearing tests. A local business since 1959.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Well, we're back here, and I pretty much have run out of trivia questions. I was trying to pull up a few more, but let's talk about going to the movies when you were a kid. When you were a kid, what do you think, how much did it cost? I remember it costing about a quarter for a regular movie, and the popcorn was about the same. There were theaters. And then occasionally they would bring the movies, you know, to a site near you. That didn't happen very often. Another thing, being a minister's kid, that I got to movies that I got to watch were a lot of movies about the Passion Play, about Jesus Christ around Easter, around this time of the year, my father, every Wednesday night, would bring in a film about the crucifixion, and he actually took it from the film would take it through the weeks before, right up to the crucifixion. It was always the same Jesus, always the same character that played Jesus. I always thought it was kind of interesting. The character that played Jesus was obviously a Caucasian gentleman with long hair, which I'm pretty certain, long blonde hair. I'm pretty certain that Jesus probably, coming from where he came from, I can't imagine he had long blonde hair and he was a Caucasian man, but it was kind of interesting. And movies were how I learned about the Bible. We would have a movie about once a month in Sunday school, and the movies were usually something about a parable, and they were always like 15 minutes long, so the teacher could show it to you, and then you could have a little discussion afterwards talking about what did that parable mean to you, It was quite a good education. As a matter of fact, when I was young, I'm guessing I was, it was before I was married, I believe, I drove down to Nashville because I wanted to get into a company called Trafco. I believe that was the name of it. And what it was is a Methodist organization. I'm not even sure it was Methodist, but they produced films for religious films for churches and things like that. And I wanted to get involved in making them more understandable by young people. Because at the time, we were pretty much fighting the world. We, you know, at that age, when you're in your late teens, early teens, you pretty much are fighting the world anyway. But at the time, the Vietnam War was going on, and that kind of made us all a little antagonistic towards religion and what it was telling us, that we should love our brothers and that sort of thing. Anyway, so that was one of the things I wanted to do, and I really thought that if I got into that, I would become a famous actor. Long way going to that one. In 1953, the Academy Award for Best Motion Picture went to From Here to Eternity. The film won 8 Academy Awards, including Best Supporting Actor and Actress. Who was the actor that won this award? This isn't back in 1953. The Best Supporting Actor of the Academy Awards. Kind of interesting. I didn't realize it was From Here to Eternity that won the Best Motion Picture that year, but it was. And the Best Supporting Actor, Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra was in lots and lots of films that, personally, I didn't find real interesting. But my wife did. So, obviously, he had an appeal. It wasn't my appeal, but he had an appeal. Still trying to find out... find some more trivia questions that I knew I should have written more of these down. The movies that we used to watch in this film class that I took, like I said, most of them were black and white. Many of them were German. German filmmaking back in the 30s was considered very, very good. Most of them, well, they were in black and white, and they were mostly silent. They were always pretty intense, especially the ones that we watched in this class that we took. Let's see, I'm trying to remember some more of them. M was one. And the M in the movie M stood for murder. There was none of them, even many of them that weren't silent, were in German. And for some reason or other, my professor thought we all spoke German, I guess, but we'd have to listen to him in German, no subtitles. Apparently, he didn't have the videos they weren't videos then, they were actual films, and apparently he didn't have them subtitled, so we had to kind of, you could figure it out, though. They were pretty obvious. The actors were still from the silent era, so they did that, I guess you call it overacting. They just emphasized the eyes, the hands, the movements were all very, very large. One of the things that I watched, Big Bang Theory, where they were talking about the very first Superman movie, where Lois Lane falls out of the window and Superman swoops down and catches her and picks her up and saves her life. I've always found it interesting. Even when I was watching that film, and I watched that film in the Chicago Theater in downtown Chicago. But anyway, when I was watching that film, I thought, boy, he was lucky to be able to get to her. Second of all, how fast were they going as they were falling and he caught her and she lived. Well, Sheldon brings the point back up that... if falling at the speed that she was falling and catching her with his two arms, he would have cut her in 3 sections. That was one of the lines on Big Bang Theory, and I always thought that was quite humorous. A lot of the things that you saw on earlier movies were not so realistic, and they haven't gotten any better now with all the explosions and gunfights and stuff. How many times can you shoot a machine gun straight at a person and they're alive? It just doesn't seem logical. And but I enjoy the humor in it. I really don't watch a whole lot of those crazy shoot 'em up movies. I just find it they all look alike to me. That's the way. I'm sorry, and I'm sure there's some people out there that are saying, "Coble, you're crazy." That's a great film, but I just don't find them. You know, how many cars can you see flip over and explode? And television is getting the same way. It's gotten to me that my wife and I watched MacGyver for the first 4 or 5 weeks. We really enjoyed it. But after that, all the MacGyvers seemed pretty much the same. But that's, you know, personal opinion. Has nothing to do with reality. It's just the way my wife and I watched it. I tend to be the type of person that watches films that probably would bore the tears out of many of you that are listening. I watched West Wing. I loved West Wing. Between West Wing and The Newsroom, those are my two favorite of all time television shows. The Newsroom did get a little old. It was almost like they had run out of ideas. But I dearly loved the first season, and the one scene where newsroom man, the anchor, is explaining to a young lady in a crowd of watchers, explaining why the United States isn't the best at everything. It's quite an interesting segment. But I liked the West Wing. I liked the Newsroom. And right now I kind of like Madam Secretary. But it's kind of getting pretty predictable too. And that's I don't know. My wife and I are kind of tough people to please when it comes to modern television. We don't go to movies anymore either. And it's not that I really enjoy the idea of going and watching a giant screen movie. I really do enjoy it. But you got to find the right movie for old folks. So many movies are really, I think, made for young people. And that's fine. That's the people that want to get out and do that sort of thing. When you get to be my age and you're on Social Security, it's a little hard to afford them. Well, we're going to probably kick this show off the air here in about another 2 minutes. But I wanted to let everybody know that I'm Glenn Coble, and I have a show on Mondays goes from about 11:10 to noon, and we talk about a progressive life, and we talk about politics. I try to do it in a form that is not antagonistic towards anybody. I've had some great callers call in with some good ideas, and I'm glad that they called in. I wish that you would call in. By the way, the number, if you do want to call ever, 740-383-9944. And you can call into most of our shows. I'm not sure if all of them, but most of your shows would love to have your phone calls. And we will push, let's see, a little white button and then crank up the pot on phone and we're on the air. Now, sometimes I'm get that confused, so please bear with me if I happen to cut you off. Also, we're pretty sure that Charlie Evers is coming back soon because he was under the weather for a while. I was under the weather all of January. I called off one Monday, I believe. I just couldn't make it. I had very bad lung problems. I had a fever of 102 for 2 or 3 days. but the whole month was horrible. So I guess that's what you get as you get a little bit older. I've had my flu shot. I've had my pneumonia shots. I've had all the shots. I'm a pincushion, not quite like I was when I was in basic training. I think I get 15 shots in one day when I was in basic training. But anyway, I hope you'll tune in to me on Monday, 11:10. A progressive life. Yours truly, Glenn Coble, sitting in here for Charlie Everett. I hope you come back next.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. From legendary talk show host, actor, broadcaster, and comedian Charles Grodin.
You know what? You know what? What I'm impressed by. You think I would know this? How you have all this audio?
Oh, you're impressed by this.
Well, what do you do? Just tape the shows as they go? But you're going back 10 years now, or maybe longer in certain cases.
Charles, when you were on, I made sure to tape it.
Wow, isn't that something? Where are you from originally?
I'm right here in Ohio.
Where? No, I mean, you weren't born where you're working now, or were you?
Do you work for the Internal Revenue Service or something?
I refuse to answer on the grounds.
Yes, I was born right here, Charles. I never went anywhere.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you like it?
Sure.
Yeah, I liked it, too. So how long have you had this show?
This show?
Yeah.
This particular incarnation of this show has been on about a year, but doing these type of shows about 10 years.
10 years. And
is that good enough? Do I pass?
Oh, yeah. And you enjoy it, right?
Till today, yeah.
Well, you know, there's nothing like, for someone like you or someone like me, somebody who likes to talk, radio's the place.
That's true, until you're doing live radio at 110.
Yes.
And you make a call.
Yeah, and the guy doesn't call you back.
Oh, and you've advertised it.
Oh, you've advertised it.
You start to panic.
You do start to panic, yeah. But yeah.
Now, are you going to stay up tonight and watch the final show?
No.
No.
But nothing against him. I'm just not awake at that hour, and you know, and I'm thrilled to be in the, I think you said, Pantheon.
Can't you get some coffee tonight, Charles? 33 years.
No.
No. Not even a shot, huh?
No, I mean, I could get coffee, but I wouldn't do it. I could always get a copy of the show. Because I know people, you know.
Well, you're going to, yeah, you know people, but you're going to miss it. You know, you'll have to read about it. You won't get to see it live or taped live.
Well, someone will read it to me.
Read it to you. Okay.
To alter ego of legendary comedian Andy Kaufman, lounge singer Tony Clifton.
It's close to 1 o'clock, close to 10 o'clock there.
Yeah,